My behaviour and communications on this podcast are not an accurate reflection of how I interact in my other businesses. Basically, I don't ever swear at children. If this podcast causes you distress of any kind, either by what I say or who I am, then do yourself a favour and go away. Hello people, welcome to the People Building Podcast, which today has the brilliant title of How Not to Feel Like Shit. That's the irony. I feel like shit today. I do have a tickly cough at the moment. I feel like shit. When I say this video is titled How Not to Feel Like Shit, sadly, I'm not referring to my tickly cough. I am instead referring to the kind of emotional shit that you sometimes feel. And me. I mean, all of us. Now listen, there's going to be some people in the world of the personal development sphere who say things like, you don't have to feel that way, you can change your feelings in an instant, that you can be grateful and that gratitude is going to kind of ride you over the crest of the shitty wave. I'm not saying that those things are untrue. Sometimes those things are challenging. Because when you're busy feeling a bit shitty, putting some of that personal development stuff into action is not always easy. Even someone like me, and I know all the tricks, all of them. What I want to do today is give you a couple of simple principles to help you get yourself through the shit feeling and out the other side into the good feeling again. So what I don't want to do today is that I want to say to you, here is a way to switch it off. Here is a way for you to almost feel guilty about the fact that you feel that way because you're supposed to be feeling good all the time. I don't want to do that either. And equally, I don't want you to stay there any longer than you need to. So I'm going to give you some stuff which is about moving out of it. It's not about going from here to here. We're not talking like quick fix stuff. We're talking about giving you a little process, a little strategy so that you can get yourself from A to B. And, you know, feel better about the fact that you've got to be. Before I get into these four principles, there's a few things I need to address. One is that there's a bird up there who's trying to ruin my podcasting career. Secondly, there is some music going on over here, which is just trying to ruin my life. And that's all. Welcome to Bulgaria. Now, first off, some of these principles I've probably shared with you in other videos about other things, but they work, and that's why I'm sharing them again, because I'm going to keep drumming it into your head until we start to do these things in real life. First of all, let's talk about time. We can use time to our advantage because time can become a framework in which we decide, proactively make a decision to contain the suffering that we're going to experience. For example, today, when I woke up this morning, I was not in a very good mood. There is some stuff going on with my family and my personal life has been putting me in not a very good headspace. But I also knew I had stuff to do today. So what I did was I gave myself a period of time, almost like a kind of, here is the period of time of which I'm going to grieve and suffer and have a little cry or do whatever it is that you might need to do to kind of connect with yourself and acknowledge that pain. Give yourself a period of time and then tell yourself when you're going to stop. So I had other stuff that I knew I had to do today. I had to go and pay my property taxes, for example, and the place where I go to pay it closes at midday. So it was like, okay, I can have a few hours this morning, but I've got to be out of here by 10 o'clock. Because if I'm not, then I'm not going to be able to pay the property taxes. It's going to screw up, you know, other things I might want to do. It's irrelevant, really. But the point being that I gave myself a period of time in which I needed to acknowledge my suffering, acknowledge my pain, but finish it. Like, finish, like, I don't know, basting myself in it. Finish bathing in it. Finish wallowing, that's the freaking word I'm looking for. Finish wallowing in it and move on and be able to do something else instead. So I don't want to encourage you to ignore that discomfort. And I want to encourage you to be flippant about it, because it's all part of the spectrum of your human experience. But you need to be in charge of how you manage it, instead of it being in charge of you. Don't wait for another event to come along that's going to kind of pick you up and put you in a better mood. Decide, at this point in time, this miserable thing needs to stop and I need to do something else. Even if I'm not quite feeling like I'm in the right spirit for it yet, I have to move on and do something else. The other thing that time can do is you can use time to remind yourself that there will eventually be a solution to whatever the current problem is. Now, if that current problem is just a shit feeling, that too will get solved, because you are going to move on from this thing eventually. One of the things that troubles me most when I meet a new client is when they lack that ability to be able to identify within themselves that things will change and that things can change. We just might need to do a certain number of things to be able to get there, like find the right strategies, and it's going to take some time. Now, in some cases, change happens fast, almost instantaneously, but there's still going to be a time frame involved in that. What time offers us is a moment to be able to pull together the resources we need to move forward towards a solution. If you are in a terrible situation, and you knew that the outcome to that scenario wasn't going to be instant, it wasn't going to be a quick fix, you still know that at some point it will end. What you're experiencing now will end in some way, shape or form at some point in the future, because everything does. Everything comes to a close eventually. And even if what you're experiencing right now is a little bird that you want to strangle, even if what you're experiencing right now is physical pain that is not going to pass until the day that you die, like miserable suffering, it will come to an end. All of it does. That's a really depressing example, I appreciate that, but it's still accurate. Most of the things that we're experiencing in our lives right now will stop, they will finish, they will end at some point in time. And that's a useful thing to remember when you are having a shitty time. Number two, we're going to use our imagination to our benefits. We're going to see the future as a brighter, more hopeful, wonderful, relaxed place that we can be in. Now, we don't just do that to make ourselves feel better in the moment, but that's important too. You know, you have to have a little bit of a reality check sometimes when you're involving yourself with your imagination. Sometimes we can get so good at imagining what the future might look like. When we get there and it's different, it's a bit disappointing because it's not the way we imagined it would be. But the truth is that really what you're doing when you use your imagination in that way is you are preparing your psychology for what you might want the future to look like. Sometimes when people are in a problematic situation, they're either in black or white thinking and they forget that there's this kind of foggy grey area somewhere in the middle. They either go, it's all going to be perfect and wonderful, or it's all going to be doom and gloom and terrible. But the reality is it's probably a bit of a mixture of the two very often. But at least if we are using our imagination in the most positive way, we can get wired up for noticing those more positive things when they start to happen. Plus, in that actual shitty moment in time, using our imagination in a positive way might actually serve to help us feel a bit better about things, might serve to help us feel a bit more optimistic about what the future has to offer. So even though you might know, chances are it's probably not going to happen out, pan out quite like that, it can still lift your spirits and make you feel good about things. Number three, do some cleaning. Yep, that's it. Like, clean up. I don't know if there is some psychology around this. Somebody do some research for me. Check out if there's actually any psychology around this and stick it in one of the comments down below. For some reason, it works really well if you're in a bad headspace to clean up, tidy things, polish, put stuff away. I think what that does is it helps you to see that life isn't a complete fucking mess. I think what it does is it helps you to see you know, just space, that there is space to be able to think. It's maybe why getting outside in nature is such a good idea, because when you see that stuff, that blue sky stuff that's going on up there, when you see that, it kind of helps expand your thinking and your imagination, and hope and possibility and all those things start to filter through. So even if your house is tidy, because you're lucky enough to have a cleaner, clean up the desktop on your computer, you know, put stuff in folders, tidy it up a little bit. When you do that, just that reorganization of things can make a really big difference to your ability to be able to see a situation for what it is. And my personal recommendation is that when you do that activity, you should play very loud music. When you are cleaning up, play music really freaking loud. And if you're physically cleaning, like I have cleaned here today, and I have mopped the floors and cleaned the windows, like really go for it from an energetic point of view, like put some backbone into it. Because expelling that energy will also help to use up any excess adrenaline that you might have. All right, let me talk to you about the final principle, and that is hope. I've probably talked to you about hope before, and I've probably told you the same story that I'm about to tell you right now. But for those of you who haven't heard it, like, this is a new one for you. And I think this is really important. I have an ex-boyfriend who was working with a entrepreneur called Darren Winters. Now, I don't know how true this is, but my friend told me that Darren Winters had said to him that hope is the currency of those who have already failed. Let me repeat that for you one more time. Hope is the currency of those who have already failed. Now, when my, obviously now ex-boyfriend, said that to me, I wanted to smack him in the face, because in the world of what I do, hope is so, so incredibly important. Sometimes it can feel like there is nothing left. There are no ideas left. There is no energy left. There is no support left. There is nothing. But if you have hope, in my opinion, you have a chance. Because here's what hope means to me. Let me see if I can kind of give you a visual representation to describe it to you. Hope for me is the first glimmer of the sun when the sun rises at the end of a very dark night. It's not daytime yet. It's not even dawn. But it's that first beam that comes out of the darkness. That's what hope means to me. And what that can do is that can give you back that last ounce of energy that you didn't even know you had stored away somewhere, to be able to take you through to the next step and the next after that. So let me tell you some definitions around hope that I found. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It's a feeling of trust. It's when you want something to happen or to be the case. Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. It's as a verb, its definitions include expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. That's why I like hope so much, because even when it's the darkest of the dark nights, hope can give you that sense that actually things can change, and they will change and they will get better. And that is why I'm sharing hope with you today in this podcast, eloquently titled How Not to Feel Like Shit. If you enjoyed this particular podcast, or maybe you got something useful out of it, then go ahead, click the thumbs up button if you're on YouTube, subscribe if you're on YouTube or on iTunes, and make sure that you join me next month to find out what other pearls of wisdom I might be sharing with you then. But for now, thank you so much for watching and listening, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.